Every story must begin somewhere. Whether we're talking about, a good tale written by somebody, or the story of our lives. Every story's got to begin somewhere. Now, a writer will tell you that one of the most difficult things to write is the beginning of a story. Sometimes, once you get the story set in place, the rest of it just follows. I don't know if, in reading a book or reading a story, how you are, but I know that if a story does not grab me at the beginning, if I don't hold on to it in some way, shape, or fashion, I'm probably going to put it down. But if it grabs me in the beginning, I stick with it. You? The beginning matters a great deal. And here we have just turned to the beginning of the greatest story of all. God's story. In fact, the very first words are, "In the beginning." Now, this isn't baseball metaphor here, in the big inning. Bad joke. It's interesting, though. One of the early Jewish rabbis who commented on this particular section of Scripture, words that are found in the Talmud, which is a kind of a commentary, an ongoing conversation on the first five books of the Bible. One of those rabbis said that, actually, in the beginning is not the best way of translating this. But actually, it said, it should be something like, "When God began creating." I sort of like that. Because it changes the flavor a little bit of the story. It's not just talking about, the beginning, but it's putting the most important character in the whole story right there at the outset. When God created the heavens and the earth. The first three verses are sort of like a prologue. A prologue that leads into the discussion day by day of creation. The prologue kind of looks at what is and defines it. Definition is important. You know, a doctor will tell you that when examining a patient, what's one of the most important things you got to get to in the beginning, before you can get to treatment? You've got to have what they call what? A diagnosis. A definition. You got to know what's there. When we're facing into problems in life, we kind of need to examine what is and define it. Somehow put it into words so that we can deal with it. And in the beginning, how does it describe things? This may be a way we might see our lives as well. I've had days like this, definitely. Days, times in my life that are formless and void. Have you had times like that? Days like that? Times where darkness is covering the face of the deep. Yes, that's describing the before things. But it's also words that touch upon our very souls. At least it does for me. And then it speaks of a wind that blows away the face of the waters. Yet times that are formless and void, times that are dark, deep, and windy. little bit of good news in there as you're listening to the word is that wind is from God. And things are happening even in the definition stage that God is moving. God is moving in our lives even before we get to the beginning stage. Psalm 139, how does it describe us? It talks about us before we are even in the womb, before we are even a glint in our parents' eye, before our beginning. God is at work. Creation, new creation. Today in the life of the church, in the church year, sometimes we follow it, sometimes we don't. You know, we remember we started it out with Advent and headed into Christmas, and we are now in the season of Epiphany. Epiphany meaning kind of a time of looking for the manifestation of God in our lives all around us. You know, the day of Epiphany is the day and when we celebrate the coming of the wise men to visit Jesus there in the beginning of his life. This particular day is devoted in the lectionary to, as we heard, the story of Jesus' baptism. Now, interesting thing. Year B, we are in year B. You don't really need to know all of this, but in the church year, this is the year of Mark, when we are kind of going through Mark's gospel. And so you will see a lot of Mark's gospel during this particular year. But Mark's gospel begins at a different place from where Matthew and Luke do. Matthew and Luke, if you're familiar, begin with what? The pre-stuff leading into the birth of Jesus. Mark begins with his baptism. That's the beginning. And goes from there. As I said, Matthew and Luke kind of jump back a little earlier. If you go over to read the Gospel of John, where does John begin? Anybody? Where does the Gospel of John? And where is that? In the beginning? In the beginning. In words that echo the book of Genesis. John is not satisfied to start with the baptism or with the birth of Jesus. John goes all the way back to the very beginning. Emphasize God is at work before day one. Now, I want to talk a little bit about baptism. Because this is baptism of our Lord Sunday, that even Jesus was baptized. But we have a different understanding of baptism when we approach it through this concept of in the beginning. Now, we are tempted to think that baptism is all about us and what we do. You know, that we come to a point of deciding in our lives that we are going to follow Jesus. And that is important. It is important to make such choices. It is important in life to confirm and to step forward and to step into the waters of baptism, to do what needs to be done. But we mustn't lose sight of the fact that it doesn't really begin with our actions. It begins with what God is about. We often say that baptism is an outward symbol of something that is happening already on the inside. That God is on the move. God is going over the face of the waters. That God is there in the formless void. And God is the wind, the very wind of God is blowing across the waters of our life. Has been. And what baptism really is about in many ways is us recognizing, confirming that fact and responding to what God is already doing. Which is an important point, an important way of stepping into that. Because I believe so often one of the things that gets in our way of stepping into the waters of baptism is that we think we've got to have it all figured out. We've got to have it all straight before we begin. Right? So many of us are, you know, this is the thing that's getting in the way. That we've got to be perfect before we can step into the perfecting power of God. Which is kind of backward way of thinking about it. God is on the move already. And so that when we're stepping into the waters of baptism, that's just an ongoing part of the story. It's a new beginning. It is a fresh, new day. But it already has had the prologue of God there. We are not the prologue. God is the prologue. And we're just following. We're just stepping out by faith into a brand new day. And God provides along the way what we need. It's not just about what we do. God provides the strength to be able to, you know, the power, the spirit. You know, we heard that story about the believers in Ephesus who were in need of something to help them to take the next steps in their walk of faith. They didn't have it. And Paul asked about their baptism and okay, you need something to move you beyond this, and that's the Spirit. And as Tessa read, you know, later on in his letter to the Ephesians, Paul talks about things that are needed along the way, things that are given by God through the Spirit. We're talking about the armor of God, you know, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of and the sword of the Spirit, and all these things. God provides for us along the way. But that's part of the rest of the story. We need to get the beginning straight. Now, we are going to have a time of communion right now. You are invited to the Lord's table. But, you know, it didn't begin with us. This is an ongoing story. So, let's turn now to, what is it, number 46 in our hymnals and sing, God of our life, who is there every day to strengthen, to guide throughout our story.